Praise him two times. There we go. There we go. You know, shifting, you know, your body a little bit, playing a drum or two might flip a switch every now and then. Let's, as always, let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, I thank you for this night. I thank you for this people that you've gathered in your house. I thank you, God, for blessing us, God, with hearing ears and seeing eyes, God, and receiving hearts. I thank you, God, that you are looking out for your people tonight, God, and you're looking out for their families, God. I thank you, God, that you have blessed us, God, that we're still, God, journeying and trekking through this calendar year, God, as it reaches its close. We thank you, God, for all the blessings that 2017 has brought to us, God, and we thank you, God, for the greatness on the horizon in 2018, God. Father God, I thank you, God, and I ask, God, that your hand be on this message tonight, God, and use me as your vessel, God. Have me to say what you want me to say and not say what you don't want me to say, Father God. In Jesus' name, amen. I guess I could have been more frank, but, you know, there's still a part of me that wants to play sometimes, but that stands for plead the blood. That's what that stands for. I could have, you know, just said, well, just write out plead the blood, but I wanted to, you know, be fancy, I guess, or be goofy. Whatever you want to call it, whatever you want to call it. But tonight, what I'm briefly discussing, you know, it is the time of year where we come to talk about, people get ready to talk about, you know, the birth of Jesus. You know, we talk about, you know, the baby born in the manger and Mary and wise men going to visit, which is, you know, very appropriate and it's also called for. But I've also thought that just because it is that time of year, that doesn't mean we have to completely shy away from what I'm talking about tonight, which is almost more closely related to his crucifixion. You know, because I've come to find out that there are a lot of people that know, hey, we know, yeah, Jesus was born. Why was he born? I mean, we know Jesus was born, but you asked them, why was he born? And some people have said, well, I don't know. A good deal of people know, but some of them don't know. So as always, like I like to do when I teach, I like to look up the definition of something. And of course, the root word and all of that was plead the blood. And of course, there are many definitions to the word, but the one I'm going to share tonight means to entreat or appeal earnestly for, to argue or to make a case for. You know, it's like when you're in court, or you have to go before a counsel, you're pleading your case. Your Honor, you know, sir, madam, I think this should be this way because of this, and that. Or I think this should go this way because this and this, that. You're making a case or you're making an argument for something. Pleading the blood relates to Jesus' sacrifice on Calvary. We were restored to God through the blood of Jesus, through his sacrifice. You know, we sing songs and we have several songs in the roster that talk about, you know, the precious blood of Jesus, you know, what can wash away our sins. Oh, the blood of Jesus. And we talk about, you know, making us whole again, the blood of Jesus. It also relates to the enemy's accusations against us and his attempt to find fault with us, you know, because that's forever what he's doing. He's finding fault with what I have did and what you have did, and he's looking to accuse us. You know, they always talk about Satan being the accuser of the brethren. When I was a youngster, I was looking this up. I heard a song, and I'm just going to read the lyrics to the song. A singing attempt was not in my speaking contract, and I don't think I can be registered to do that. But I'm going to read this song because it came up in my spirit and when I was looking this up this week, and it just sort of reminded me of the lyrics went, I was guilty of all the charges, doomed in disgrace, but Jesus with his special love saved me by his grace. He pleaded and he pleaded my case. Jesus dropped the charges. Jesus dropped the charges. Now I'm saved through grace and faith. And the drive of the song, you know, it's another verse, but the drive of the song went, he dropped the charges. Jesus dropped the charges. And another verse says, at Calvary, I heard him say, at Calvary, I heard him say, on Calvary, I heard him say, it says three times, case dismissed, saved by grace. Now, that song is older than me, and I don't know what song. I know it's older than me. It's a great, great deal older than me. But the remarkable thing about that is that applies to everyone in the body of Christ. That doesn't apply to the elite. That applies to everyone in this room. We can't say it only applies to everybody sitting in section 3, row 8. See, you know how sometimes they say, well, we're having a giveaway. If you sit in section 3, you are the winner. Everybody was a winner in this ordeal. The whole group won. The whole team won. Everybody's the winner. I want to take a real quick trip down memory lane, as I like to call it. We were blessed with this last Sunday, and I want to kind of go back to it. I'm going to be speaking from Exodus 12. Everything I'm reading tonight, the scriptures I'm referencing, excuse me, are from the New Living Translation. This one I'm reading right. But Exodus 12, I think most of us know the backstory to this. You know, children of Israel, captive in Egypt, God tells Moses, hey, Moses, go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Moses, okay, God, going to do that. Pharaoh, God says, let his people go. Pharaoh, no. Okay, so God, what does God do? God strikes them, you know, with the plagues and everything that happens. And now, the final thing that happens here, verse 21, Exodus 12, verse 21, then Moses called all the elders of Israel together and said to them, go pick out a lamb or young goat for each of your families and slaughter the Passover animal. Drain the blood into a basin, take a bundle of hyssop branches and dip it into the blood. Brush the hyssop across the top and sides of the door frames of your houses. And no one may go out through the door until the morning. For the Lord will pass through the land to strike down the Egyptians. But when he sees the blood on top and sides of your door frame, the Lord will pass over your home. He will not permit his death angel to enter your house and strike you down. Remember, these instructions are a permanent law that you and your descendants must observe forever. When you enter the land the Lord has promised to give you, you will continue to observe this ceremony. Then your children will ask, what does this ceremony mean? And you will reply, it is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord, for he passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt. And though he struck the Egyptians, he spared our families. When Moses had finished speaking, all the people bowed down to the ground and worshiped. Of course, we know it goes on to describe that he went through and he struck and killed all the firstborn who didn't have the blood of the lamb, you know, over the doorposts. Now, this, of course, symbolic to what would later become Jesus, the perfect sacrifice, you know, because back then they had to actually take a physical lamb when they were atoning for their sins and their wrongdoings and actually sacrifice it. But Jesus would come and would later on be the perfect sacrifice, so we wouldn't have to do any of that anymore. And the blood has always been held in high regard. We all know communion. When we take communion, we say, Jesus, when we later move on to Jesus, I could take you there, but I'm not going to go to that tonight. But Jesus, you know, is having the Last Supper with his disciples. And he, you know, takes the bread and he says, this here is my body broken for you. And this is, here is my blood, it's shed for you. You know, he gives them the cup and they all drink. And then, you know, the events take place. And, you know, he goes through the crucifixion and all that. But it was an extreme sacrifice. It was a high price paid. Excuse me, it was a high price paid. Mm-hmm. I've come to the realization, I think we all realize, that we as people tend to put a higher value on things that have come at a greater cost to us. Right. Best way I can explain it to you is if I come to your house, I'm over to your house, hey, how you doing? And I'm walking around your house, but I'm clumsy. And I tip and knock down, break a little flower pot that you maybe paid $2 for at your local garage sale or at, you know, the dollar store, something that didn't mean that much. Oh, that was nothing. Then I never used the thing. We had it for 3 years, never done anything with it. Okay, that's not a big value, okay? Now, let's flip the script. I come to your house and you've got a big, precious $3,000, $4,000, however many. When you paid for it, when you wrote the check out, it had a few zeros on it. You had it sitting up there and I come and knock that down. Chances are we as people are gonna feel the loss of that more quickly than we would that little pot, the little flower pot. I said all that to say, you know, we value sometimes things that have come at greater cost to us. That being said, how do you think God feels about our salvation? How do you think God feels about us? How do you think God, Jesus, feels about the price he had to pay? Yeah. Because that was, you know, no easy task. You know, the Bible goes on and talked about him being whipped and bruised and all that. How do you think God values that? And now I'm going to flip the question and ask you, you know, everything I ask is all a rhetorical question. I just like to do that sometimes. How do you feel about it? Just something to think about. And that's each person has to answer their own, that question for themselves. But how do you feel about it? You know, God knows your heart and he knows mine, you know. That being said, God, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 and 8, again, a New Living Translation, back to what I just said, he is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave our sins. He has showed his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. So God, going back to my first question, Paul writes to the Ephesians, okay, he's got a lot of kindness and grace on us. Sometimes we don't always, you know, observe that. We don't, but deserve that is what I mean. You know, especially again close to around this time of year. And why do I say this time of year? Because this is the time of year where we're getting close to, you know, we're getting close to, some of us are going to be interacting with families, and some of us are going to be interacting with people who in our lives that we may not necessarily have the best, I've always had the best relationships with. Now, I don't know everybody's story, I don't know everybody's case, but a lot of times we have that one person in the family that, oh, I don't want to see cousin him or aunt so-and-so. And it causes that, you know, to bring out something in us that is not necessarily the best thing. It can happen. I didn't used to believe that until I experienced that myself once or twice. And then I just, you know, I saw, okay, I see kind of what this is. I see kind of what this is all about now. But the Bible teaches us that Jesus paid the price. As a matter of fact, let me go Isaiah 53. That's what I really wanted to say. Isaiah 53, 5 and 8. He was pierced for our rebellion. He was crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be made whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have laid on him the sins of us all. Now, that in part goes to what I was saying about sometimes we don't always shine the best around this time of year. And it's not just this time of year, it's always. But God right here is saying Jesus took care of all of that. Amen. Jesus took care of all of that. So sometimes we don't always have the best of dealings. I'm going to put it that way. But I'm going to throw you another scenario. Now, let's say you have another visitor to your house. Now, I came to your house and I knocked down, you know, $3,000, $4,000 something, might have been a vase, or, you know, they say they're really elegant and stylish. They're not vases, they're vases. They're that elegant and that stylish. They're a vase. But I came and knocked that down. Okay, now let's say you have another visitor. Now, we don't have this sacrifice. Let's say that's wiped out. Let's say Jesus never went to the cross, never shed his blood, never had anything lying to save. Let's say this doesn't exist and you get another visitor coming to your house. Now, not me, okay, but you got another visitor, and this visitor brought a couple of his goons. I think some of you know where I'm going with this. This visitor came in and he's looking. Look at that. You see that, right? That's a happy, that's a blessed family. You see that? We got to try to destroy that. We got to try to eliminate that. We got to try to rid them of their happy relationship. And I want you to see if you can strike them with sickness. Yeah, okay, sure thing, boss. You want me to plant seeds of sickness, frustration? You want me to sow some discord in the family? That's exactly right. Okay, cool. See that house right there? You see that house right there? That house over there. Okay, now, the father's had a great job. We're finna get ready to cause him to lose it, and we're finna get ready to bring destruction on his house. Oh, boss, you're going big on this one. That's right. Now, that's for those who are not on the blood, okay? Those who are not blood-bought. Now, I'm not saying that doesn't sometimes happen to us all, but because of the blood of Jesus, his sacrifice, okay? Let's flip the script and let's do this at someone who, okay, they've got it. Let's flip that script, okay? This is the house I've been waiting for. This is the one I tried to do a long time ago. Boss, do you think we ought to try this house? Yeah, well, every time we try this house, we can't do anything. What you mean we can't do anything? Well, we've always not been successful. Look, okay. You're a bunch of amateurs. I'm going to go in here and I'm going to disrupt their marriage and I'm going to destroy it. Boss, we tried that 10 years ago. We tried it already 10 years ago. not only did the marriage stay together, it got stronger. And now they're deeper into things of God. We'll get the children. We can get the children. No, boss, we can't do that. Why can't we get the children? Well, they're always praying over the children. They're pleading the blood of Jesus over the children. When they go in school, wherever they go, wherever they encounter with, we can't get the children. We actually tried that a few years ago. Okay. Well, job. We can call somebody a job. Boss, we tried that a few years ago too, and not only did they get a better job, two or three people that they knew also got better jobs. Boss, they're always talking about that Jesus stuff and that blood of the Lamb and that sacrifice stuff. Always in that house. We can't do anything to those people every time. So y'all are a bunch of amateurs. I know what we can do. Sickness. We'll strike them with sickness, infirmities, disease. Boss, we tried that 3 years ago. 3 years ago, boss. And what happened? Not only were they healed, 5 other people on this whole block got healed. As a matter of fact, boss, they said if any one of us tried to come back to the house, we'd be in big trouble. You see that line right there? Yeah. They said that's the bloodline. They said nobody can cross that. They said if anybody tried to cross it, they'd be in big trouble. Man, you all are about your amateurs. Boss, I wouldn't do it. Aw, man, you don't know what... Whoa! All right, boys, you guys were right. Next house. But my point in that little demonstration, what I've been trying to stress to you tonight, is pleading the blood of Jesus, how important it is. Now, that's what my whole gist of my message has been tonight. And using myself as an example, I've noticed my days go so much better and seem to go so much smoother when I do it versus when I don't. Everything just seems to line up on track and on course. I mean, I couldn't. It's the difference between being smooth and not smooth. And most recently this past week, I had a dentist appointment. And nothing against dentists. They're tremendous people. They do great things for us dentists and doctors. But I have never just been a big fan of going to one. And I've always had that little fear marinating in the back of my, oh, what is this about it? But thankfully, I remember I serve an awesome God. And I began praying and pleading the blood of Jesus over my visit. And when I went in there, I went into the office actually dancing, like literally dancing. Now, again, the dancing deal is not in my contract of speaking tonight, so no exhibition. But I was a lot happier and excited. My overall mood was a lot better than what I'd have been if I'd went in there, you know, oh, Lord. And it actually turned out to be a great visit, you know. I had a good time, was laughing, joking, cutting up with the people in there. But my point is when I began to pray and plead the blood of Jesus, it began to release power. Power, because they've always said, you know, there is power in the name of Jesus, which is very true. I've come to find there's power in the name of Jesus. And when you begin to pray and release that power, you begin to unleash things that can happen for you and your family supernaturally that probably, well, I know could never really happen otherwise. It's just like, okay, the pen right here. My goal is to grab that pen. Now, in my natural strength, sure, sometimes I could grab the pen easily. Anyone come up here and grab the pen. But like I've said earlier, with hindrances, sometimes what we want to get to, the goal we want to get to, isn't always as easy as it seems, okay? I want to get to the pen. Well, this one thing came up and blocked me. I'm going to try to go around it. Well, guess what? This area is closed over here, so you can't go over here. Okay, well, I'll simply just walk on the other side of the stage. No, that's blocked off. Okay, Lord, I'm going to need some help. I plead the blood of Jesus over this situation, God. I want to meet my goal. I want to do what you have called and required me to do tonight, God. That's what I want to do. I want to make this situation happen. I want to please you, God. I want to do this the right way. So I plead the blood of Jesus over this attempt, and I'm going to reach out and get it. I plead it over my family, over all that I own, my job, my finances, my car, my loved ones, my close friends and family. And now, success. Success. A simple thing is grabbing the pen. Amen?
Amen.
So tonight, I just wanted to bring that to your hearts and attention to mine, because, you know, we're getting close to the holiday season, and, you know, there will be times we will discuss, people will discuss, you know, the birth of Jesus, which is what the season is really is about. I'm sure people will get on to that. But I still want to bring back to your attention the thought of why he was born. You know, the crucifixion and the power coming in the name of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
One thing I would also like to bring up during this season is, don't shun away. Don't shun away the opportunities, and you say, well, we see this all the time. Don't shun away the opportunities to show undue love. Undue love. And what I mean by that is, okay, you love your friends and family, that's true enough, but if God compares you, okay, well, I need you to show love to so-and-so person for a few minutes, then don't be afraid to exhibit that and show that.
Amen.
Amen. I am calling it a night. I don't know why, but I'm calling it a night. PTB, plead the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you, God, for blessing me tonight. I thank you, God, for blessing your people tonight. I thank you, God, for what you have given your people, God. And God, I thank you, Lord, that we will not forget, God. We will not forget the reason for the season, God. We will not forget it, God. No matter what we go through, no matter what friends or family say, no matter what the world says, God, we won't forget it, God. We thank you, God, that we will remember you and why you were born, Jesus. We thank you, God, that you have your eyes on us always. And I thank you and I praise you, God, for blessing us continually, God. And I pray, God, our safety and sanctity, oh God, as we go throughout this week, God, I plead the blood of Jesus over family, over friends, over coworkers, God. I thank you, God, that you are looking out for us and you have us have our best intentions in mind always, God. I thank you and I praise you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.